Well, we are going through, we have a smaller number this morning, a little cozier, right? Many away this weekend, long weekend. Hopefully they didn't go to Hamilton, have to come back through Hamilton. I'll have a long trip home. We're going through Genesis, and we're, seeing these different people in the book of Genesis and seeing how the Lord can speak to us through these people. Today, we come to... I probably should have changed my title. Maybe this is not such the best title. Title is Two Sons, Two Results. Maybe I should have had the title changed to A Dysfunctional Family. As we get there, you'll realize, yes, this was a somewhat dysfunctional family. And it's in the Bible. How about that? For us to see something, for us to learn something. Okay, so we're coming to this whole section concerning these two boys, two men, Esau and Jacob. A set of twins. We have a set of twins in the Bible. Let's look first at Genesis chapter 25. We'll read a few verses in Genesis 25, starting at verse 20. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean from Padamaran, the sister of Laban, the Armenian, to be his wife. Okay, so Isaac, the son of Abraham, he gets married at the age of 40 to Rebekah, a relative. Okay, distant relative, whatever. And Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. The children struggled together within her. And she said, if it is thus, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. Just a little side note here. I don't know, those of you who have read this many times, like me, this little phrase here, two peoples are within you. One shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. Who's the stronger? Doesn't say. When we're all done, then you figure out who's the stronger. At least we know the older shall serve the younger. That's a bit more clear. When her days to give birth were completed, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red. All his body was like a hairy cloak. So they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel, not far behind. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So Isaac prayed for maybe 20 years for his wife to have a child. How about that? When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. First point here, you realize we got a problem. We have a problem. Parental preference. Parental preference. One loves one over the other. Dad loves Esau because dad loves food. And Rebecca loves Jacob. They have their preference. You know, for parents who have more than one child, beware. Beware. You know, I know a family. It's kind of a sad situation presently. Anyway, this couple, it was when I was in Winnipeg, this couple, they had 12 children. No twins, all 12 children. And what's interesting is the father told me, he says, yeah, we got married and we didn't have children for 6 years. We thought we're not going to be able to have any children. And then all of a sudden the children started coming, bing, bang, bong. 12 children. They came by the dozen, yes. Fortunately, just one dozen. Anyway, she recently had a brain aneurysm, so she's recovering from that. Very difficult. Anyway, one thing is, what's noticeable, because she had this, has this illness, brain aneurysm, her children all came rallying, you know, to her, back to her. I mean, many of them still live around, but you realize, and I know this family is, she loved every one of her 12 children the same. She had no preference. They all were her children. She loved them equally. She had a big heart. She had a big love. And I think she also loved all her 61 grandchildren. Yes, she has 61 grandchildren. Anyway, love your children equally. Or you know what? You're going to have trouble. Guaranteed. So we have a parenting class for 1 minute here. Love your children equally. Okay. Two nations are in her womb. But what's interesting about this verse is the older shall serve the younger. They're not even born yet, and God is making a declaration. Why? Because God foresees what's coming down. What's going to happen? This is what we call God's sovereignty. Okay. So, we got to the verse 28. Good, we got to the bottom here. Now, we have these two boys, and they're growing up, okay? Now, they look like twins, right?
Yes.
I don't think Jacob and Esau looked like twins. If one is all hairy and red and the other not, you know, they just, are these twins? They're not identical twins for sure. Anyway, so they have these twins. Okay. Then, we're going to cover quite a few verses this morning. I'm just going to mention this. In chapter 26 at the very end, with just two short verses there. And this chapter 26, do we have them? Maybe not. Okay, let me just read them to you. When Esau was 40 years old, then Jacob must have been how old? He's also 40, just remember. Okay, they're twins. Esau was 40 years old. He took Judith, the wife of Beri the Hittite, to be his wife, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And they made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. Esau married two women, both from the land, Hittites, and these women were trouble. Esau did not marry well. So, another little lesson here. Marry well. Marry with your parents' blessing. Marry with your parents' blessing. It means a lot. It means a lot. Seek your parents' blessing in your marriage. It means a lot down the road. Okay. Then we get to chapter 27. I'm not going to read 27. There's 46 verses. You can read it at home. I'm going to just give you a quick summary of this chapter. Chapter 27, Isaac is now old in his estimation. He is old, he is blind, and he thinks he's going to die. And according to proper calculations, he is about 137 years old. He doesn't know this, but he does live another 43 years. Okay, just a little side note. This means Jacob and Esau are now 77 years of age. You thought they were young men. No, they're not young men. They're about 77 years of age. And Isaac says, okay, I'm going to die. It's time for me to give my sons a blessing. Okay? Now, one thing I missed, so let me back up here because it's important. Chapter 25, Jacob and Esau are We don't know how old they are exactly, but they're not little boys. They're men. And Esau's out hunting, and he couldn't find anything to eat, so he comes back. Jacob is cooking a pot of stew. Bible says lentil stew. Doesn't sound exciting to me. Here we are, Genesis 25. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field. He was exhausted. Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stew, for I'm exhausted." Therefore, his name was called Edom. Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright now. Sell me your birthright now." Esau said, "I'm about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" We go on. Jacob says, "Swear to me now." "No, this is not a light matter," Jacob says. "I really want the birthright. The birthright is valuable. It's to be desired. I want it. Sell it to me. Swear to me." So Esau, "I'm going to die. I'm hungry. I want food." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose away. Thus, the Bible says, Esau despised his birthright. It's a crucial verse. Esau despised his birthright. "It's not worth anything to me. In fact, I prefer to have lentil soup over my birthright." They tried to make it look good. That's Esau. Okay, then we come to this matter of Isaac blessing his sons. So Isaac says, he calls Esau, says, "Esau, I'm going to bless you. But to get the blessing, I want food. Go hunt. Go out to the field. Hunt for me. Make me some meat I really like. So, and then I will bless you." So Esau goes out. Rebekah has good ears and hears what Isaac has said to Esau. Now remember, Rebekah loves Jacob. And Rebekah calls Jacob and says, "Jacob, go get a goat. Just go get a goat from the backyard. Get a goat. I will cook it and cook it the way Isaac loves it. And you go in with his feet, and you get the blessing." And Jacob says, "But I'm not hairy. I don't feel like Esau. I don't look like Esau. I don't sound like Esau. And I don't smell like Esau." And Rebekah says, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it." And she does. And she gets some of Esau's clothes so that he smells like Esau. And he gets some skins and puts them on him. I don't know how she did it, but did it some way to make him feel like Esau. The only problem was Jacob didn't sound like Esau and never did. So anyway, Jacob goes in and Isaac is blind. He says, "Wow, that was quick. You got that really quick." Then he comes in. Jacob says, "I'm Esau, your firstborn." Big lie. Jacob says, "Wow, that was quick. You don't sound like Esau. Come here. Let me smell you. Let me feel you." Anyway, eventually, Isaac is convinced this is Esau. And Isaac gives Jacob the blessing that was intended for Esau. Okay? He gets the blessing. Jacob leaves. Esau comes in almost the moment Jacob leaves. Comes in, brings everything. "Hey, Dad, I got my thing. Here's the food. Eat and give me your blessing." Says, "Who are you?" "I'm Esau." "Uh-oh." Then Isaac realizes what happened. And there's an interesting verse in this chapter, verse 33, Isaac says, once he realizes, and he says to Esau, once he realizes that, here it is, "Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, 'Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it all before you came. And I have blessed him.'" This line here, "Yes, and he shall be blessed." At this point, Isaac realized God's sovereignty, in spite of his preference. Now, earlier we read the verses about Rebecca praying to the Lord and the Lord speaking to her. It would be very, very difficult to believe that Isaac did not know this. The word that God had given to Rebecca. It would be very, very difficult to say that Isaac didn't know the prophecy concerning these two boys. Yet still Isaac has his preference. However, at this point, the birthright has already been sold and passed on to Jacob. The blessing and the birthright go together. Esau doesn't deserve the blessing because he despised his birthright. Yet Isaac, because of his preference for his son, was going to give it to him anyway. Whether he knew about the selling of the birthright or not is immaterial. The point is, God's sovereignty was that Jacob would be the one who would get the birthright and the blessing. So let's look at this man Esau. What kind of a guy is he? First of all, it tells us very clearly there, we read in Genesis, he despised his birthright. He despised his birthright. Hebrews gives us a very interesting reference to this. In Hebrews chapter 12, 15 to 17, we'll read these verses. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Verse 16, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no chance to repent, though he sought it, the blessing, with tears. Why was he rejected? He was rejected because he rejected. He rejected, he despised his birthright. Therefore, he was rejected. Strong language here in Hebrews. It says he's unholy. He didn't consider the birthright something God-given. What is the result? Well, the result of all of this was Esau was determined to take vengeance. And Rebekah heard Esau was determined to kill Jacob once Isaac died. Of course, we know that Isaac didn't die for another 43 years. But Rebekah heard this. She was fearful for Jacob's life. She was determined. Jacob's got to leave. And that's why Jacob left and ended up going to be with his uncle. But this animosity, we know from the Old Testament, this animosity between these two sons and their descendants continued generations later. Esau, we read earlier, is called Edom. So Edom is another nation. And Nigel covered, I believe, today, right? In his class. The Edomites. And the prophecy, there's prophecies concerning the Edomites. And the first prophecy was concerning Edomites is in Obadiah verses 10 and 12, which says, but do not gloat over the day of your brother referring to Isaac. This is a word to the Edomites. Oh, it's your brother Israel, right? Do not gloat over the day of your brother, the Israelites, who are the descendants of Jacob, in the day of his misfortune. Do not rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their ruin. Do not boast in the day of distress. It's a charge to the Edomites. Don't take advantage of your brother, the Israelites. Then there's another verse in Psalm 137, verse 7. Which says, remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem, how they said, lay it bare, down to its foundations. In other words, Edomites were saying, they were rejoicing whenever Israel was in trouble. Even to the point saying, oh, let them be destroyed. Well, the word eventually in Obadiah and the prophecy is Edom would be destroyed. Animosity was there for generations following this. What about Esau? He basically disqualified himself. He disqualified himself. He despised what was God-given, and God in his sovereignty and his foreknowledge knew this. That's why he gave the prophecy to Rebekah. Now, what about Jacob? What kind of man was he? Well, he's not squeaky clean either. Seems like in this record, nobody is clean. Everybody's got some problems. In Genesis 27, we realize Jacob was complicit with his mother in this deception of his father. To deceive his father, he was part of this deception. He lied. However, he valued the birthright. He valued the birthright. And he valued the blessing. Later on, we see another interesting thing with Jacob as you read the record following in this book of Genesis. Jacob took responsibility for his family, for his children, for his wives, and so forth. A little example. I think we have time. Two brothers. Two kings. Some of you know this situation. The guy on the left, this is King Edward VIII. He became king in 1936 in January when his father died, who was King George V. Little history lesson here. King Edward VIII, his father, again, how about prophecy? His father gave a prophecy. His father's prophecy was this concerning Edward. He will ruin himself within 12 months of getting on the throne. That was his word. He will ruin himself within 12 months. Do I have it here? Okay, I'll get the quote. After I am dead, the boy will ruin himself in 12 months. That was the father's prophecy. Okay, why? Because Edward was a womanizer. He was. And he especially seemed to like to be with married women. Yes, yikes. And it wasn't just one, it was multiple. Well, eventually, what happened was he became king on the death of his father in January of 1936. He loved this woman. Her name was Wallace Simpson, who at the time was a divorced and remarried woman of someone else. And he didn't want to give her up. And at that time, in England and in the Commonwealth, it was strongly looked down upon for the monarch, the king, to be married to a divorced woman. It was basically not accepted. Of course, we realize today things have changed, but at least at that time. So actually, there was a crisis, not just in England, but actually in the whole Commonwealth about this issue. He was now king, and he wanted to marry this divorced but still married woman. And eventually, the prime ministers in the Commonwealth all felt, no. He either gives her up or he gives up the throne. And he decided, I want her. I don't want the throne. I want her more than I want the throne. So in December of 1937, he abdicated. And his younger brother, George V, became king. 1937 was a year of three kings. Three kings in 1 year. We three kings of England are. Anyway, the difference between these two is quite interesting. Not quite, not exact similarity to Esau and Jacob. George V actually did not want to be king because he felt there was too great a responsibility. However, when it was forced upon him, he took his responsibility extremely seriously. What kind of a man was he? He was a man who was absolutely faithful to his wife. He was a tremendous father to his two daughters, Queen Elizabeth and Margaret. And his wife was very faithful to him. And he took his responsibility seriously. He was the king in England during World War II, a very, very difficult time. He actually, because of his conduct, restored the faith that people had in the monarchy. Because actually Edward destroyed people's respect for the monarchy. He, George VI, took his responsibility when the quote birthright was given to him. The birthright in royalty is the oldest son becomes king after the death of the father. Since Edward despised his birthright to become king, it was given to the second born son. But he took it. He took it seriously. Anyway, he was a family man, and yet at the same time, very devoted to his country. We're running out of time. Let me go quick here. Isaac tried to bless Esau, but then later, when Jacob is being sent away, Isaac gives Jacob another blessing. This time, Isaac is clear in his blessing. And we have this verse, God Almighty bless you. This is Isaac to Jacob when Jacob is leaving. God Almighty bless you, make you fruitful and multiply you that you may become a company of peoples. May he give the blessing of Abraham to you and to your offspring with you, that you may take possession of the land of your sojournings that God gave to Abraham. What's striking to me about this blessing is this blessing is superior to the one that he thought he was giving to Esau. Striking. The first blessing that he gave to Jacob, which he thought was Esau, this blessing seems to be better. Why? Because now he's clear. He gives him the blessing of Abraham. It's not according to preference. It's not according to what he wants. It's according to God. It's according to God's sovereignty. And with full awareness of what he was doing. We need to know and we need to respect God's sovereignty in all things. Even, I know this is hard to grasp, but even it seems God used the improper actions of Rebekah and Jacob to fulfill his purpose. Sometimes we do make mistakes. Even our mistakes, God will use for his, according to his sovereignty. But then lastly, we need to take responsibility. Coming back to these verses in Hebrews, the first verse says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Then he talks about Esau in these verses. Follow it immediately with Esau. So in other words, Esau becomes an example of not of a person who fails to obtain grace. We should have the attitude, Lord, I want to seek to obtain grace. I don't want to just live my life a sloppy way, but I want to seek to obtain grace, to take responsibility for myself, to take responsibility for my family, to take responsibility in the church. God has given us something. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about all the inheritance that we have been given, that we have been blessed with, all the blessings we have been blessed with. What are we doing with them? We need to obtain the grace. We need to seek for the grace. We need to honor the inheritance God has given us. Respect the inheritance and treat the inheritance holy that God has given us. And we all need to bear responsibility for our families. We need to rise up. Rise up to obtain grace from God. Not just take what comes. Comes, it goes, easy, easy come, easy go. Let's rise up. We're going to have the Lord's table now. Let's consider before the Lord the sacrifice the Lord made and offer ourselves back again to Him. Just like to mention to you, we'd like to open the Lord's table. Here is open for anyone who is a believer in the Lord. We don't have any official membership you have to be part of to partake of the table. If you have received the Lord, you believe in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're free and more than welcome to join us.